Hello and welcome to the Fanned. It's our grand final wrap edition. Horsey with you alongside a man who knows all about grand finals. Gary, Jimmy, Jack, how are you, guys?
G'day, Horsey. I'm very, very good, mate. And what a grand final. What a way to finish the season. The two best teams of the competition come together and wow, what a game it was.
Yeah, of course, this episode proudly brought to you by George's Fine Meats, Cherrybrook and Five Star Real Estate. We're going to talk about all the highlights and lowlights from the grand final. Firstly, though, Jimmy, since that result, Penrith 26-24 over the Broncos, just an amazing game. It's been tossed up. It's the greatest of all time. I'd like to get your opinion on that. Where does that match rank as in terms of the greatest grand final of all time?
Yeah, look, I've been watching grand finals since 1975. When the Roosters put through St. George, 38-0. I've watched them since then. I've been involved in one, you know, obviously great grand final, 89. Another one there was 2015. That was a pretty good one too, with the Broncos and Townsville, or the Cowboys. I rank this one high. I rank this as the best grand final I have ever seen. It had everything. It had everything. That last half of footy, you know, they threw everything at them in the first half, only just led. Then the Broncos got on top, and then we thought the Broncos were going to win. There was three tries by Ezra Mann. Just incredible. Incredible those tries he scored. And then at the end, with 20 minutes to go, Nathan Cleary did something that he just went to another level as a player. Absolutely inspirational. Without his 5'8 there, without Yo there as a lock, what he did was just unbelievable, because no one else would have won the game. And I think it's the greatest grand final ever.
I am with you, Jimmy. And like you say, we've seen some good ones over the years, and I've always had the 1989 decider between yourself and the Raiders at the top of the list, like many people. But I think, I don't know, I think this one's gone past it. It just had everything. The thing that it had that no other grand final has had is a record-breaking comeback. It had come back from 16 points down when the other team is just playing brilliant footy, and to somehow overcome that and win, that's what sets it apart from all the other games. And that's what, you know, the winning try in the last few minutes, it just had everything. And like you say, Jimmy, it was from go to woe. It wasn't just the last. So when I think of 2015, that was a good game, but it was a great finish, whereas I think this game had it all right from the start. Sure, there wasn't many points in the first half, but that wasn't through a lack of trying. I mean, the Broncos were, if anything, were probably too frantic, and Penrith were just sublime in their control, and they probably should have scored more points than their 8 points in that first half. I think it sets it above 89, and I'd have probably 1997, Manly Newcastle with Darren Albert's try.
Yep.
2015, the one you said, yep, Cowboys Broncos. 1991, I think, is an outstanding grand final too, the Panthers and Raiders. That was a beauty.
Yeah. Yeah.
So many to choose from. 2003 was a great one, but I'm gonna put this one at the top of the tree.
It had everything, mate. And, you know, the great and really surprised. The defense by the Broncos was absolutely unbelievable that first half. You just touched on it. They were like machine like the way Penrith played that first half. They completed 18 from 19 sets. You know. But the score at half time was only 8-6. Normally when Penrith play like that, now it's 18-0 or 20-0 at half time. They were only just ahead by 2 points, and that really, they threw everything at the Broncos, and the Broncos kept them out, and their defense was just, well, I didn't think they could defend that well. And then, you know, they scored that try to get back into the game, and then it was a totally different game the first 20 minutes of the second half, you know. Oh, it just had everything. It's the greatest ever.
Well, let's go to the moment where it was 24-8. Ezra Mambus just scored his third try. We'll talk about Ezra Mambus in a second. What were you thinking at 24-8? Did you think that Penrith could come back from that?
No, I didn't. No. I've seen plenty of grand finals. And, you know, the leading, if they're behind, it might be, 14 points, 12 points behind. I think we were 12 points behind. There might have been 14 points in another grand final. So you don't come back when you're anything more than 14 points. Like, the difference there was 16 points. And I thought, and Cleary just missed a tackle too. You know, he missed a couple of tackles there in defense for Ezra Mann. And Reece Walsh went through. So his confidence had to have been down as a player. So for him to pick himself up, dust himself up, A, he didn't have his trusty lieutenant with him, Luai, and he didn't have Yo there as well. So those two guys, they play hand in glove together. Yeah. They weren't there. That's just – he just took his game to another level, which I've never seen.
Just on the margin there, 24-8, we've seen big margins before. The previous one, St George Illawarra led Melbourne 14-0 in 1999 in the grand final. But and you led the Raiders 12-2. But 12-2. They were gradual leads. You sort of built them up through the course of the game. What sets this one apart is that the Broncos literally blew Penrith away out of half time. They went to that 16-point lead and they were going away. If you ever look at the footage, you look in the background when Walsh makes that break, you got Cleary on the ground, you've got Isaiah Yeo gasping for air, you got Tungo trying to grab hold of someone, Liam Martin being left in the dust. They were just getting skittled, and it wasn't just by Walsh and Mam. It was Pat Payne, Haas, Capel. They were just tossing them aside. Penrith were, I hate to say, they were a rabble at that point. There was no signs of them coming back.
No, because all the momentum, momentum is a huge thing in rugby league. It's huge. All the momentum was with the Broncos. They were on top. They increased their lead. They increased their lead again. All the momentum was with the Broncos. And you think, well, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. So you would not think, but the modern game, 10 metres, it's hard to shut a game down. And I think maybe that's where the Broncos lost it. Instead of still playing with that gay cavalier football and win at all costs, maybe they just went a little bit. They retreated just a little bit. Well, look, we've got this game, we've got it, and that's all of the sniff that Penrith needed to get back in the game.
That's exactly what they were thinking. Because look at the celebrations. There was no when they scored. There was nothing like, "Come on, boys, let's get back to halfway." We're playing against Penrith here. It was like Ezra Mann smiling at the camera. They were all jumping on each other. It was party time. It was party time. They thought they had it won. And I'm not being critical of Mam, who was absolutely brilliant. But, when you're smiling at the camera, that's telling me that you think you've got the game in the bag. And you can't think that way against a team like the Panthers. Even though we all thought there's no way they're coming back, you just can't write off a two-time defending premier led by a guy like Nathan Cleary, who we're going to talk about right now, because, as you say, that just took him to a new level, that performance. I've heard from a few people now that maybe the fact that Luai and Yeo went off just unlocked him. He had to step up, and we should also give credit to Jack Cogger, who came on, and he played a crucial role as well.
Indeed, and that's a very good point you make there, because what happened was Ivan, the coach, has got the message out there to his son. He was playing second receiver. He wasn't playing first receiver. So when he's getting the ball, he was doing the running that normally Luai would have done as second receiver, and that's what unlocked the defence for Penrith. So, that was a turning point too, because when you're around the ruck, it's hard to run, but when you get that one pass wider, there are a few gaps there. You've got some options. You can skip around a bit. And that's exactly what he did. It was a master move by coach Ivan Cleary.
Because I was looking for him as their key player, Jimmy. I was looking for him at 24-8, thinking, how's he going to get him out of this? And I just looked at him and I thought, you just can't. You've lost two of your key players around you, and Brisbane are just dominating. But somewhere within himself, he found the steel to get the job done. What did he come up with? He came up with a line break for Big Leota to score for 24-14. Yeah. I think most people thought, oh, okay, consolation try. For me, the big moment was the next set. When on the third tackle, he launched that 40-20. And I looked at him at that point and I thought, hang on, he's got a look in his eyes here. Mm. And then sure enough, the momentum built, Crichton scored for 24-20. And then he also took that line drop out from Reynolds and just timed it to perfection. So his foot was out, got them the penalty, more possession. And then he scored that zigzagging try. All the while, Jimmy, while he had a knee injury from a Payne-Haas hip drop tackle in the 10th minute of the game. Well, I mean, which has ruled him out of the Australian team. Yep, so it's got to be a significant injury.
What a performance. It didn't certainly affect the way he played, the way he ran. You would never even know that he had a leg injury. No. Absolutely amazing. And those elite players, I think the game just went to another level. He went to another level, and it's amazing how things just can slow down. Sometimes you can see gaps before they appear. You can sense where to run, where not to run, and everything that went right for Cleary. And look, there's no doubt that he's touched on there, that 40-20 was absolutely instrumental in that second half. in the last 15 minutes to get them back into the game. No one saw it coming. And then he had some great work by Crichton, because Crichton scored that try. Wow, you know, what a great try on that left edge, which they needed. All set up by Cleary. Didn't the forwards just bash each other up in that first half? Oh, you know,
just to finish.
It was a tackle there by Carrigan on Leota. My God, in that first half, I just thought, wow, the big boys have come to play.
That's when he just crushed Carrigan. He went flying backwards. Just to finish on Cleary, does he now join Thurston, Johns, Sterling, Langer, Stewart, Mortimer, those blokes?
Not yet. You know,
he's won three comps. He's 25.
He's won three comps. Sterlo won four comps, and Brett Kenny won three comps by the age of 22. He's 25 and he's won three. So not yet. Brett Kenny did win four in the end. His career's half over. He certainly it's got all ahead of him to do. He can win. You know, if he gets four or five, he'll be, you know, I don't know how many Cooper Cronk had, but, you know, those players, he'll certainly be talked about, but his career's only half over. So, you know, I hate putting pressure on these young blokes, but
yeah.
So far he's fantastic. And he's got, if he keeps doing the back half of his career is like the first half, yes, he will be.
Yeah, and I think also it's the representative level that people are waiting for as well. He has played some good games for New South Wales and Australia, but you wouldn't say he's been dominant at that level. Yeah. I think that's probably the one question mark that people still have over him. Let's have a look at the five-star five now that doesn't include Nathan Cleary. Let's talk about Ezra Mam, because without Cleary's heroics at the end, Ezra Mam, he wins the Clive Churchill, doesn't he?
Without a doubt, he wins. I haven't seen a player get three tries in a grand final. He did three tries in 10 minutes.
Against the best defence in the comp.
Against the best defence in the comp. And he didn't just beat them. They didn't just sort of burrow over from dummy half. They were 30, 40-metre runs. They beat Dylan Edwards on the outside and burned him. Like, it was just amazing what he did. I didn't realise he was such a gifted player, but wow, what a star he is.
Yeah, he was under the radar, the Reece Walsh radar a bit, wasn't he? But he's just freakishly talented. He's only 20 as well. And that footwork he put on Lindsay Smith, where he just in and away and just left him clutching, and just the acceleration to then get around Dylan Edwards. Man, it was good to watch. That's what I'm saying. The way he scored his second one, then Reece Walsh made that electrifying break for Mam to get the third backing up. And you just thought, these guys are on fire. And we're already talking about how they're going to become a super team the next 5 years, and then it all unraveled from there.
Yeah, and I was even thinking, geez, this could get embarrassing for Penrith.
Yes.
That's what I thought. This could get embarrassing for Penrith. Yeah. This could be 30 or 40, because they were just going through like a knife through butter. And how they turned it around, I don't know how they turned it around, but they did. Well, we know how they did turn it around. It was just one of those moments in someone's career where Nathan Cleary stood up. But, yeah, Ezra Mann was fantastic.
You're spot on there, Jimmy. I had the same thought. I thought, I almost felt a little bit sorry for Penrith, because they have been such a champion team, and I thought they don't deserve to get flogged. Mm. And then I think at one point I thought, well, hang on, don't write them off yet, you know. Mm. But I didn't think they're going to come back. Anyway, number four on the list. What about Penrith's first try? Mitch Kenny, Herbie Farmworth taps back a line dropout from Adam Reynolds, which I might say was absolutely pinpoint perfect. Why Farmworth didn't just catch the ball, I'll never know. And I tell you, this shows you how well-planned Penrith are, because I swear that Kenny and Isaiah Yeo positioned themselves waiting for that tap back, and Kenny got it and scored a simple try.
Yeah, I saw that. I wondered that too. Now, that was his first try of the year and first try of the game.
Yeah.
And he had to go probably no more than a metre and put it down for a try. Yes, the old short dropout. It's a big part of the game now. But certainly, I think they did do the homework on that. And I think you're right there. Those guys positioned themselves, waiting for him to knock it back, and they got a try.
Number three, you mentioned the big man up front. I thought Leota and Payne Haas were just inspirational. Certainly, Haas did not deserve to be on a losing team. He was just destructive the whole way through, and it was just a pleasure to watch those guys rip into each other.
Yeah, it was. And games are won. Yeah, now when you play grand finals, you get one chance to get it right as a player, and The games are won up front in the forwards. It's not run out wide. It's won up in the forwards. Don't care what you say. That's where it's sorted out. And those forwards took each other apart. They smashed each other all day. They both laid the platform for their own team. Full credit for the guts and courage that they showed all game.
But I also think Leota deserves a big rap. I thought when he came back on, he was just as influential as Cleary. Well, maybe not to the same extent, but you could sort of see that he was not giving up on that game. He just ripped in. Yeah. You watch the tackles he made. He had so much belief about him, and I think he was pivotal in them turning around momentum. Stephen Crichton, you mentioned him. He just gets better and better. He's my number two here. He was phenomenal in a sense. She's going to miss him next year. His final game for the Panthers, he made it four tries from four grand finals. That is that's Brett Kenny-esque, I say it.
Yeah, it is. And I think that there was a couple of tackles there in that first half by Herbie Farnsworth where it looked like he was on the outside to score, and Herbie Farnsworth just cut him down like anyone else. I'm sure he would have beaten to score, but for that great defence by Herbie Farnsworth, kept the Broncos in the game. But, yeah, the critter is a great player. And anyone that scores, four tries and four grand finals is in an elite level, a very elite level, because not many people – I was only – Brett Kenny is up there in that same sort of level.
So, I grew up watching footy when there was a lot of great centres around. Yeah, Mark McGaw, Andrew Ettinghausen, Gene Miles, Choppy Close, all those blokes. You'd name 1,000 of them. Yeah, then Mark Gasnier later on. It sort of went back a little bit in prominent centres for a while there, but the four guys on display on the weekend were just sensational. They were at the top of their craft. You're talking about Herbie Farnsworth, Katoni Stagg, Stephen Crichton, Isaac Tungo. I thought they were sensational. So it's a bit of a rejuvenation of the centre ranks. And just finally on the five-star five, Jimmy, what did you think of Adam G, the referee, in his debut grand final?
Fantastic. Adam G was a breath of fresh air because I thought the referees were going to nitpick on everything. He didn't. He let the game flow. He had a feel for the game. Because there were players, players trying to claim injury so they could check, review it, and get a penalty out of it. Reynolds did that there when he got tackled. But he stopped. He analysed it. He played what he saw. He didn't call the bunker in, so they kept the bunker out of the game, which I think was huge, huge. And they only gave 1-6 again. So that he had a fantastic game. That's the reason why it was such a great game, because he didn't nitpick over tackles and holding down. He let the play flow. I think the penalty count was 3-2 in the end. So full credit to Adam G. He was fantastic. For his debut grand final, many more to come, and it was just a breath of fresh air. Thanks to him, thanks to his refereeing.
Well, that's how rugby league's meant to be played, Jimmy. It's a momentum game. It's free flowing. Unfortunately, the last few years we've got stop start, captain's challenges, bunker intervention. We've lost that flow. On Sunday night, that was rugby league at its best, and it's because, as you say, he put the whistle away as much as he had to, and I just thought it was fantastic. I agree with you. I think he had a sensational debut. People are saying, well, why don't we referee like that every week? I'll tell you why, because coaches would take advantage of it. If coaches know there's only going to be three penalties a game, you watch. They'll just get everyone to slow down the play of the ball, stand offside, and it won't be much of a spectacle. But I'm glad we had that approach for the grand final, because it is the showpiece game of the year. Want to touch on Adam Reynolds again, mate. He's been getting some heat over his performance because many people laid on at his door that he's a leader. They're up 24-8 and absolutely blitzing it. So how couldn't he get them home from that point? And he did. He did die with the ball there on a fifth tackle play. So there was a few people suggesting I think Gordon Tallis actually said maybe Broncos don't look to re-sign him long term based on that game.
No, I don't agree with those comments. I think Adam Reynolds had a great game. Yes, okay, the last 20 minutes, I don't blame Adam Reynolds for that. It was a team thing. You can only do what you can do with the ball. I think they were doing plenty of defending in that last 16, 17 minutes. They didn't have the ball a great deal. It was 40-20s. It was all going on left, right, and centre. So, no, I don't blame Reynolds. I think he's probably the reason why one of the main reasons why the Broncos made the grand final this year, thanks to his consistent form and goal kicking. So no, I think he had a fantastic year, and I certainly couldn't lay any blame at him for their loss on the weekend.
No, but he's going to have a few nightmares, Jimmy, particularly about the Panthers. He's lost two grand finals to them now for two different teams by 2 points. 14-12 playing for Souths in 2021. And now
welcome to the club.
26-24. No sympathy from Jimmy. He has won though, so I guess he can hang his hat on that. Code word of the week time, Jimmy, 10% off your next order at George's Fine Meats, Cherrybrook. What do you got for us?
Seriously, I've got no idea. You want to pick one out?
You've only got a week to put it together.
Yeah, I've only got a week to put it together.
It has to be clear.
Flegler, there's a good word. Flegler.
Oh, no. Why would it be Flegler? It's got to be Cleary, doesn't it? Oh. Has to be Cleary.
Okay, it has to be Cleary. Okay. It's Ivan Cleary.
You want Ivan?
The old man.
That Brush Nathan, okay. All right, let's talk about Ivan. I think he deserves more credit, Ivan Cleary. I really do. I think when you look at who he's lost over the years, I'm not just talking about players. Well, let's go through the players. Capewell, Kickow, Coruscant, Burton. Who am I missing? Probably a few others.
Yeah, probably a few others, yeah.
Yeah. And not to mention two quality assistant coaches last year. So he's lost Andrew
one
Webster.
One going to be a successful Webster.
And Cameron Serrato, who was a lot of hype about him. So he's lost all those people, and yet he gets them to another premiership. Three in a row, first time in 40 years that's been done. It's just remarkable. Yeah. I think, finally, you can't say, oh, maybe it was just Andrew Webster, oh, maybe it was Serrato, oh, it's because he's got all these great players. How do you keep the hunger? How do you keep the team up every week? You can rarely accuse Penrith of not turning up for a game.
No, you can't. Just on that, like, yes, it's an amazing coaching effort because, as you said, they've lost all those players along the way, but they've bought very well. Their recruiting is amazing. They've bought players from other clubs. They've bought players from other country areas, maybe low profile. Like Luke Garner, there's a player who played last year at the Tigers, got a wooden spoon, and he saw something there, and he brought him to Penrith, and he's won a comp this year. He's put a premiership ring on his finger, you know. So he must see something as a coach in players that other coaches don't see, and that's the reason why they can replace those players. Jack Cogger's come in, you know, and these guys fill their void. Sorensen's come in, and they just do it. They do their job, and you know the stars, Dylan Edwards, Nathan Cleary. The stars stand up on the stage, but he must buy very, very well, and he's got a good group of people around him that fit in with his structure, and that's the key to their success. And I saw that they had some undisputed UFC style belt that they bought from an op shop about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And yeah, they've had one, two, and this was the crowning glory. And you can see the players when they were in the dressing room with the belt or the pitchers with the belt, how proud they were to put on. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to be the undisputed champion of the league, and it worked.
That's a great idea. Really, I think it just gives them something extra to keep them going. And last year they had the Top Gun celebration. They gave themselves names because Top Gun had been re-released, and you know they got behind that, and they just give themselves a theme each year. Did you see Mick Fanning's interview on Channel 9?
He was pretty happy, wasn't he?
He probably had a couple, and he was just saying Cleary's the best athlete in the world. It's hard to argue. It reminded me of that great Chris Heinington interview back in 2005.
Yes,
F-bomb city, that one. Jeez. They lose Crichton. That's massive. That's a massive loss. They lose Spencer Lenu, who was really good off the bench, and they lose Jack Cogger again, who was really good off the bench. So there's three more players they lose. Can they win four in a row? Yes.
Well, you know, I didn't think they played so well. I thought they were gone, and they came back and did it. And they got the three. I can't write them off. You know, can they do four in a row? No one's done four in a row. I think Souths did four in 5 years back in the 60s and 70s. No one in the modern game has.
No.
Parramatta did lose, I think, the 84 grand final, and they were in the grand final. Yeah, so they could have done four. I think they can. I think they can for the reasons I mentioned before, because they just buy so well and they bring blokes that fit into their structures, and that's the key to their success.
Yeah, they've got Paul Alamotti coming across from Canterbury, so I guess they're looking at him to take over from Crichton. They've got Dane Laurie coming as well. No doubt they'll add a few more players. But, yeah, I'm not going to write them off, Jimmy. I probably wrote them off at the start of the year. I'd have to go back and listen to episode one, but I think I said they'd come back to the pack this year because Viliami Kikau, and in particular, I thought Appy Korosau, just two influential players to lose them. I just thought surely they come back. And they did initially, didn't they? But that's a sign of Cleary's coaching again. They were at the start of the year beatable. Tigers beat them. They lost the World Club Challenge.
Parramatta beat them twice.
We always beat them in the regular rounds, mate. Hey, just on that, I'm glad you brought that up, actually. So we played the Premiers twice. We beat them twice. How good's Barra?
Yeah,
that's more frustrating.
We got the wooden spoon, and we played them, and we beat them as well. So there you go. They can't be that good.
Oh boy, yeah, Let's back them in for four in a row. Okay, let's talk about the other side of the fence, though. The Broncos. How's this going to affect them? And I ask you this because you will have, you're pretty well equipped to answer this question because you lost the grand final in similar circumstances. You thought you had it against the Raiders and back at 89 and you lost it. So how will this affect the Broncos? Will they just be able to shrug it off and bound in the preseason training, or will it?
No, it's going to be there. I think it's going to be there. You know, we led, 14-2 with 14-2 and with, probably 15 to go in 89. And, there's little moments in the game that just sort of go through your head. Maybe I should have done this. Maybe I should have done that. And it might have been a different outcome. I know you can't have that philosophy, but it's just human nature. Yeah, I'm sure there'll be moments that'll haunt them if they'd have played that more attacking style of footy, if they got to the ball rather than letting it go out. You know, yes, they will have it. They will have not. I mean, it's like Reece Walsh was. He didn't see him the first half. You know, he touched the ball twice in the first half. He's walking around the dressing room with a freaking sunglass on like a Terminator. It's like he thought this bloke's going to go out there and set the world on fire. He didn't see him. He did not see him the first half. Now that was very disappointing. He played a lot better the second half, but when it mattered in the first half, you just didn't see him. That's what I mean. When you're playing grand finals, you've got to get it right. And all the hype was about Reece Walsh. It's like he believed all the press in the paper, how good he was, how he's going to set the world on fire, and he did nothing.
But he's a kid. He's young. It's his first grand final.
Yes, I understand. But there's those missed opportunities because you may not get another chance to play in the grand final. Timmy Brasher played in the 89, never played another grand final after that. You know, you may not get another chance. So that's why you've got to take it when you're there. That's why they're so special to play in a grand final. And if you're lucky, you might get a second chance. So, you know, they may get a second chance if you're lucky.
So, I mean, you lost also in 88 to Canterbury, but they won that pretty comfortably. So you're saying it's probably better to lose by a fair bit than a tight margin, even if it is one of the greatest games ever?
We were a lot happier after losing by a fair bit in 88 than what we were in 89. So maybe. You know, because it's great to get to a grand final, as I said before. Just to get there, it's fantastic. Penrith had been there before. They lost one. You know, they won two. So they knew what it was like. And Broncos will probably think, we'll get another chance. But they may not. So I think it does give you that little bit extra to try and get there again. But after our close loss in 89 to Canberra, I think we finished fifth in 90, and after that we never made the semis again. So it's maybe because these blokes are a little bit younger than us too. We were getting towards the back end of our careers when we made the grand final. But, it's not easy to get over it, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of regrets by the players.
Because you're right about those moments. From your game, there was the McNeil ankle tap, there's the Benny Elias field goal, Wayne Pearce dropped the ball
down the sideline,
and then you look
three
at
on two,
yeah,
yep. The Bruce McGuire penalty for using what's the name, Steve Walters as a shepherd, which doesn't exist. You know, it's just like there's moments,
yeah,
and Mickey Neal gets ankle tapped. If he doesn't get ankle tapped, Mal misses him. He scores. Game's all over. Benny Elias hits the crossbar. The crossbar, as I said to you before, was about 3 inches too high. If it wasn't found out till afterwards, the ball goes over and doesn't matter because we win 15-14. History from what's happened after that, it's not written because we win 15-14 and Canberra go on to win the comp in 1990, which they were a great side, but 89 was definitely our year, and we for whatever reason wasn't meant to be.
It's not just Balmain 89. You look at Manly in 97, not shutting down Joey Johns when he went down the blind side, not covering on the inside when Darren Albert scooted through. You look at 2015, Ben Hunt drops the kick off. All this stuff would get replayed over and over and over. So, and that'll be the same for the Broncos. Pat Carrigan, you know, a loose carry right near the death there before the try. Adam Reynolds getting caught on the last tackle. All these things will be replayed. Yeah. But look, we shouldn't take away from the fact they had a bloody good season, the Broncos, and they are such an entertaining team to watch, and I've got no doubts they'll bounce back. They are losing a couple of good ones. They're losing Farmworth and Flegler, but I still think under Kevy Walters, they're just playing such a refreshing style of footy.
Oh, mate, Justin Beaver there at the back.
Mm.
Chris Walsh, he is unbelievable. He puts bums on seats, and he's only 20 years of age. Kid's got the world at his feet. You know, he's an absolute superstar of the game. Well, he keeps his feet on the ground. I'm sure he will be. We haven't seen the best of him by long. She's going to get better and better, you know, at 20. And, you know, hopefully he'll learn from you know, the weekend's grand final and come back a better player, more mature player. For the Broncos, because you know they're so talented right across the park from 1 to 13, and you know you got to think it's only 3 years ago they got the wooden spoon.
Yeah.
In 2020, so it's remarkable how they turned around so quickly.
But if they can bottle that 20 minutes after half time and it stretch it to 80 minutes, no one will get near them. They were that good. It was you know, they weren't playing West Tigers or Gold Coast. They were playing the two-time defending premiers who have the best defensive record in the comp, and they just toyed with them like no other team has. Okay, what else have we got? We've got just on Reece Walsh, not in the Kangaroos squad. Was that a surprise to you? I certainly had been calling for him to be in the squad, but I guess James Tedesco finished the season strongly with the Roosters, and he is the incumbent.
Yeah, well, he's the incumbent, you know, but let's face it, he had a disappointing Origin series, like captain New South Wales for our second series loss in a row. His form was better towards the back end of the year, but certainly the other guys, Reece Walsh, Dylan Edwards, Kalen Ponga, were the form fullbacks of the competition. I don't think anyone could even question that. And Tedesco wasn't. So to hold his spot in the team, I think he's very fortunate. And I understand where Mal's coming from. You know, Mal had a lot of loyalty shown to him as a player by Don Ferner. You know, Don had Mal on the side back in 86. He had him, you know, on the bench, and then he had him in the second row when Bozo came along. I understand where that loyalty is coming from. But at some stage, you've got to pick players on form. You know, Dylan Edwards has played, he's had two cracking years, hasn't played for New South Wales or Australia, yet he is an unbelievable fullback, you know. Clive Churchill win a last year, and he hasn't got a look in. So I think those guys are terribly unlucky to miss out. Reece Walsh, wow. Kalen Ponga, Dele M, best player in the competition. You know, best player in the competition, and he can't get in the Australian side. Like, we pick one fullback? Like, seriously? And if something happens to Tedesco, what they've got, who are they going to use as fullback? They've either got the Hammer or they've got probably Munster can go back to fullback, you know. It's a specialist position, and you know, if something happens to Teddy, we've got no one there who is a specialist fullback. So I think they made a mistake there. One of those guys should have at least been picked as number two fullback.
Yeah, Nicho Hynes is another option. He's come in to the squad to replace the injured Nathan Cleary. So he could play fullback as well. But I think it's going to take a retirement from Tedesco or a loss in the specific championships. If they don't win this championships against Samoa and New Zealand, then I think that gives Mal an excuse to say, right, we need some new faces for next year. Thanks, Teddy.
Yeah. But you talk about Mal's being loyal. Like he stuck with Addo Carr. You know, he stuck with Addo Carr. There was a bit of trouble on the weekend at the Koori knockout.
Yeah, well, that may change if the integrity unit...
Correct.
Besides, he's guilty.
Val Holmes should have been suspended for being an idiot, you know. So Val Holmes, you know.
Well, I found that a bit funny because I'm sure Mao was coached when he didn't pick Semirad Radra when there was allegations of domestic abuse, which were later proven to be unfounded. And I think he overlooked Semi, and I think he made comments to the effect of, we don't want that sort of character in the team. So I was surprised that Val got the call up, although maybe he's taken Val on his word that I didn't take drugs, I was just being an idiot.
Just a prank gone wrong, you know. So he gets a week, and then Latrell, He was ruled out by the doctor, the South doctor. I didn't know the South doctor could rule him out, but then he went and played in the Koori knockout on the weekend. Yeah. So, I mean,
it's a funny look. Isn't it? It's a funny look. And look, South are saying that, oh, look, he only played 10 minutes in the Koori knockout. There's a big difference between that and playing a international program, which is probably true. And he is a proud First Nations person, and he loves that Koori knockout. So, but it's just a strange look. You can understand people saying, well, hang on a second. You know, he didn't play at all for New South Wales because of injury. Now he's pulled out of Australia, but he's found time to play in the Koori knockout. So,
yeah.
That's yeah, what, but yeah, I can also right. I can also see the other side of it. So,
there's three guys that Mal's extremely loyal to, you know, Val Holmes and Ado Carr and Latrell. You know, I just don't think the South doctor can rule someone out, and then he goes and plays the Koori. I just shake your head. You know, does he want to play for Australia or not? You know.
Well, the Roosters have ruled someone out too. They ruled out Joseph Swalehi with concussion symptoms, so he can't play for Samoa. He was their best player of the World Cup last year, it's not just the Bunnies. Mm-hmm. A bit of news through the week, Jimmy. The Panthers, so they're moving in with my Eels. Did you hear that? Penrith. They're moving in. Penrith are moving in to Eels territory. 2025, they're going to be playing at a Combank Stadium with my Eels because Penrith Stadium, Bluebet Stadium, is being redeveloped. So hopefully some of their magic rubs off on the blue and golds.
Wow, there you go, eh? Yeah, well, they'll be them there. The Tigers will be playing there as well. There'll be three teams playing there.
I think the Tigers announced they're playing more games at Leichhardt and Campbelltown, so I think they're getting back to that.
That's right. Yes, I heard that during the week. It's going to be 5-5, I heard.
Yeah.
Sorry, just letting Rupert out, mate. It's 5-5, so that's good.
Yeah, that is good.
As they've got to build a bigger stadium out there out of Bluebet.
Yeah.
They've got to build a bigger stadium because – you know, the kids out there in Penrith, they're all going to be playing footy. We're riding a wave here out there in the west of Sydney, Parramatta and Penrith, and it's great to see. It's great for the game, and all these young kids of different nationalities are all playing rugby league, and I think it's fantastic, mate.
Well, the Panthers are missing out, mate, because they've got a 20,000-seat stadium. They had a few sellouts this year. They could easily get up to 30,000 the way they're playing. Yeah. Everyone's right behind them. They could easily draw 30,000, so they're missing out. We should also mention Newcastle, NRLW champions for the second year running. They beat the Gold Coast Titans 24-18. Had to come back in that one too, Jimmy. They were down 18-12. Tamika Upton, Dally M winner. Freak.
Yeah.
Freaky fullback. She got them home with two late tries, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and I thought they were gone. Yeah, the Titans played very, very well. Very well. And you know, unlucky to get beaten. You know, Upton was... she was fantastic. She set up the winning try and she's nothing she can't do. She's a very talented ball player and see stuff other players can't see.
And mate, just I wanted to mention also, isn't it funny how rugby league and AFL grand finals seem to copy each other? I mean, the day before, absolute thriller in the AFL with the Lions going down to Collingwood by 4 points. And then the NRL turning on a thriller. Then last year it was the same as well. Swans got blown away by Geelong, and then the next day the Panthers gave it to the Eels. And you go back to what was it, 77, I think, AFL had their first draw in grand final, and the rugby league did as well. So George Parramatta, I think it was.
In 05, remember 05, that the Swans won the competition in 05?
And the Tigers won. West Tigers won for the first time.
And the West Tigers won the same year. Yeah, yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. So they had a great run by the Tigers there. But have you given any thoughts to who might be the New South Wales coach?
Well, Laurie Daly's name just keeps getting stronger and stronger because Ricky Stewart's ruled himself out. He wants to concentrate on Canberra. I believe Craig Bellamy's feeling the same way about the Storm. So it's just seems to be coming back to Laurie Daly. And initially I thought, no, we've already used Laurie. But, man, Laurie had a rough deal. He went up against the cream of the crop with Queensland. You look at that Queensland team, the 1-8 in a row, and he copped much of that. Yeah. He won a series, amazingly, in 2014. But he was up against Thurston, Smith, Inglis, Slater.
Kronk, all of them. Mate,
it's a tough gig. So I think he should get a crack. I think we'll get a better idea of how good he is as a coach if he comes in now.
I think he'd go okay. I was maybe a bit hesitant at first to go back to him, but you're right, he did cop the rough end of the pineapple, so to speak, from those Queenslanders for all that time. He did win one series there in 14.
What about Tim Sheens, mate?
Well, he's available too. I believe he's he's looking for a start somewhere. No, I don't think that anyone would pick Tim Sheens. So, I don't think he'll be selected.
When did he last coach New South Wales? 1991 or something? It's been a fair while between drinks.
It's been a while, yeah. All right. So,
we'll see. You put your hand up, are you, mate? You said Paul McGregor. You thought Paul McGregor would be a good option. You told me that on 2GB.
I said Paul McGregor, but I've heard that he could be going elsewhere. He could be going north of the border. Way north of the border is what I've heard.
I think that's official. He's joining the Cowboys.
That is official. Okay.
Yeah. All right. But that won't. I don't think that'll prevent him doing the Blues.
Yeah. I don't think it should. But I reckon bring back Tuve. I think Tuve'd be good. Yeah. Bring back Jeff Tuve. He'd be great for the media.
Yeah. He's got the passion, hasn't he?
He's got the passion. You bring back Tuve, assistant coach Steve Roach. Forwards coach Benny Elias, backs coach Jimmy Jack. Throw them all together, and wouldn't that be just a great New South Wales squad? Big Ciro in there. Well, Ciro's been there before. Get Big Ciro there. He can be the drinks man. That's a good way to go.
Fend at the end time. I noticed the Panthers kept all the players off the microphones at the Mad Monday, which was quite sensible given what happened last year. Remember that? We had Fisher Harris taunting Parramatta, saying they're our sons, and then you had Appy Coruscant saying, can't wait to get to the West Tigers and lose every game, basically. So they said, this year it'll just be Ivan speaking. But Jerome Luai still managed to offend some people by saying that, well, we've won three in a row. Just look at the resume. We are the greatest of all time. And it's sort of upset a few people. And I got to say, let's just enjoy all the great teams. I mean, we do have this fascination. I've been guilty as well. We have this fascination of comparing everything. But the bottom line is you can never say with any certainty, oh, is this Penrith team better than Parramatta in the 80s? You'll never have an answer to it. So you're just wasting your breath. So let's just enjoy them all, I say.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with those comments. It was a great side. Listen, hey, on Saturday, I went to the Kangaroo reunion.
Oh, yeah.
And look what I've got here. I've got a ball.
Great.
I signed the ball from the table. It's signed. It's signed by Teddy Goodwin.
Wow.
Yeah. Teddy Goodwin.
Was he a hero of yours?
Yeah, Lord Ted, absolutely. Lord, he's another Dapto boy, Dapto Canary. You'll love this. I had a chat to the great, look at that. Can you see that?
Pricey.
Ray Price.
Wow.
We did a little bit of a spiel together for his Instagram with his son. His son was there. It looks just like Ray, except his nose is not quite as knocked around as Ray. His name is Luke, I think. I think it's Luke, yep. So had a chat to Price. He had a chat to, there's Benny. We got Benny. There's old Backdoor. A bit of rugby league history there, and then I signed it as well. So I was sitting on a table with Graham Wynn and Peter Wynn, and opposite me, on the other side of the table, was Shuey, Ian Tubert. There was Royce Arliff, then sitting next to Blocker. Muggo was sitting next to me. Johnny Muglin was sitting next to me. Oh, it was just a fantastic day. The Kangaroos reunion at the SCG.
I better not see that ball pop up on eBay.
Oh, no, I'm not going
to
sell
straight to the pool room, that one. Straight to the pool room.
I'm not going to sell that to Ted, the Lord Ted. So great to see all those guys. It was a really great day. Billy was there. Cooper Cronk was there. Jonathan Thurston was there. Good to see the younger blokes there as well. Really great game, well put on by the NRL. Now we're sort of out of COVID, so it's good. We haven't had one since 2019 or 18 was the last time we actually got together. So, it was good to see.
Did any old teammates call in some old debts that you might have owed? Or
any debts?
You know, like did you snip some players back in the past? And I said, Jimmy, how about that lobster?
I gave Sturlo freaking 10 quid back in 86. I asked him any chance I'd get the 10 quid back, Sturlo. He said, Jimmy, I haven't finished spending yet. So there's not much hope with Sturlo getting any money out of
his pocket. Was Desi there? Desi's pretty tight. Was Desi there?
Nah, Desi wasn't there. I think he's up the Gold Coast, up the Goldie. He is tight. He still is. don't leave your furniture at the front when Desi's around because he'll drive past in the car, pick up your furniture, throw it, and go and sell it in an op shop. He is one of the best He doesn't miss a quid.
That's great. That's great. That sounds like a great day. That's awesome. Jimmy,
yeah, it was a great
mate, we'll be back next week too because we've got the Jimmy. So you've got to start thinking about your award winners for 2023.
No problem, mate. Okay, we'll do. And also, I've got this little mug. Look at this little mug.
Continuous call team.
Continuous call team mug. How old's that?
Well, that looks like back in the 90s. Is that is the great Chippy, the late Chippy Frelingos on there and Blocker?
It's Bozo, Blocker, Bolts, and it looks like Chester. Or maybe looks like Chester, but it's hard to tell. It doesn't look like Chippy, the bloke on the end. He doesn't look like Chippy.
No, it doesn't. It could be someone else.
Doesn't. Yeah.
It's got
Chinese writing on it. It's got Chinese writing on it.
On that note, you go away and have your dinner. You're going delirious. Yeah. Thanks, Jimmy.
I will do.
Thanks,
everyone, for listening. See you next week.
Thanks also to George's Time Mates, Cherrybrook and Five Star Real Estate, Hornsby. See you, mate.
Thank you. All the best. Bye.